It's Wednesday, the 13th of May 2015, and I'm back at Hull Station, having spent the morning at work in an all-day executive group away day, except I was lucky only to have to spend half a day in it. My colleagues are still at it, and I'm on my way down to London to the Royal College of Nursing of the United Kingdom headquarters at Cavendish Square to take part in a kind of a debate with others, including the chief nurse, Jane Cummings, on the future nurse. So really, we've really all got 5 minutes or so to exchange views on the future nurse. And this will be a platform, I've no doubt, for people to get things off their chest. I'll certainly use it as such. I hope I can be constructive. I've written something. Slightly controversial, but we'll see. I don't, for example, really go with the chief nurse's six C's: care, compassion, confidence, and all the rest of it. I think they're very superficial things, so I'll be saying that, and we'll see how that goes. The event is being chaired by Jane Draper, who is the BBC health correspondent. I hear her a lot in the morning on Radio 4. And she phoned me last week just to find out what I'd be saying, and was quite glad that at least I'd be reasonably controversial. And I ran through some of the things I was going to say, and she seemed to be happy with that. And she said also we should be a bit more flexible about the timing. Maybe 5 minutes might be a bit restrictive, but I'll certainly try and keep it to 5 minutes. So I've got to catch a small northern train to Doncaster, and then change there down to London. I get to London at 5:30, and the event starts at 6 o'clock, so I need to get straight to Cavendish Square when I get down to London, and I'm staying there overnight tonight. I just noted last night, anyway, when I was looking at my tickets, that the RCN haven't been at all generous in what they've provided by way of train fares. It's the cheapest and least flexible standard tickets, and I can't really afford to spend the best part of 5 hours today and tomorrow morning without Wi-Fi or without a power socket on a train. So I'm going to have to pay to upgrade to first class at Doncaster to London, and probably do the same again on the way back tomorrow, because you don't get free Wi-Fi anymore on the East Coast Virgin trains and standard accommodation, which I think is pretty mean. But there we go. So I shall try to remember to record what I say and any other interesting comments that I'm allowed to record tonight, and put that up in due course as a podcast. It's the morning after the RCN debate, as it were, or the forum, and I have to say, having complained about the level of provision of transport on the way down by the RCN, I have to say they've continued to excel themselves with this hotel. It's the St. Giles Hotel in Bedford Place, and it's absolutely appalling. But never mind, and I'll have to upgrade to first class on the train on the way home just to get some wireless, because there's no wireless in this hotel, and I haven't done any proper work for several hours. So last night went well. I don't think the chief nurse was too pleased with some of the comments that I had to make, and she assured me that there had been some very negative comments about what I said on Twitter. I haven't seen those yet, and I won't see them unless they use my Twitter handle. I actually don't really care. But afterwards I had lots of people coming up to me afterwards who were very positive about what I said, and very positive about very specific aspects of what I said, including a couple of former University of Edinburgh graduates. So from my point of view, I thought the evening went well. I was a little bit annoyed with myself that I went over time. We were supposed to speak for 5 minutes. I went well over that. Jane Draper from the BBC, who was chairing it and was absolutely charming, didn't really mind anyway. She did say at the beginning she wasn't too concerned about the time. She was much more concerned that we'd actually have something interesting to say. But I should have been a bit more disciplined, and I would like to have been a bit more disciplined. However, it's sparked off a few things in my mind for one or two things that I might want to say in future, or even to write in future. I don't mind standing up and speaking, but I do prefer the written medium where you can really make your argument, think things out and provide the evidence. So we'll see if there's any more fallout or flack from this. Probably not, it'll probably just die down. And I'm just about to leave my hotel and make my way back to Hull.
Okay,
thank you. Right, thank you very much indeed. Now for something, as they say, completely different. I train for running so that when I say what I'm going to say, I can get out that door quickly onto the pavement and onto the tube before anybody catches me. We were asked to address the modern nurse, and I just decided I really didn't have a clue what the modern nurse was like or should be like. I think that's an unknown. There's so many things happening and so many things changing. What I'd like to talk about really are the optimal conditions for developing the modern nurse, whatever that might be. And of course, that'll give me a chance to say some of the things that I would like to have said anyway, whether I was addressing the modern nurse or not. Modern nursing, I think, is very complex. It's more complex than ever before. It requires more advanced skills to deal with greater patient acuity and shorter stays in hospital. And this has got an effect on the hospital and in the community. So, the modern nurse needs to adapt to work in both of these areas. But whichever way we look at it, nursing always seems to be insufficiently staffed, and funding never seems to meet the demand for nurses, and nor does the supply meet the demand. And unless it does, we can develop as many modern nurses as we like. If we don't have enough of them, then we're still on a sticky wicket. I realise the company I'm in here, so I've got to be careful what I say here, but to hell with it. Workforce planning seems to be non-existent at the central level in the UK. This is one of the issues that we suffer from. The way that workforce planning is done, the way that training is commissioned. Just today at my own university, we were asked by our NHS, the people surrounding us, could we increase the numbers of people that we're training, educating, falling into my own trap there. And of course, this is music to our ears. It means more money, and it means more people, and it means more opportunities. Of course, when we go back to the NHS, we're told, well, we don't have enough clinical places to look after these students and supervise them. So there's a real lack of sort of joined up thinking there in terms of workforce planning. And I've got some points at the end, which I think might address that. And we do, and I'm looking around the audience, I see a great many, I assume, overseas nurses here. We do seem to depend on an increasing proportion of overseas nurses, the vast majority of who do a fantastic job, but they're disproportionately represented, along with men like us at the NMC in disciplinary procedures. Something goes wrong there, and something has gone wrong with our own production of nurses in the UK. If, for example, in 2001 there were more overseas registrations than there were UK registrations. This has attenuated slightly, but we don't seem to think of two things. One, the effect that might be having on our own healthcare system, and also on the healthcare systems where these nurses were educated. Now, for some countries, this isn't much of an issue, like the Philippines, but in countries like Africa, it's got to be an issue where we are draining talent from there. So there's consequences on both sides of this. But let me be quite clear, I've got no issue with the overseas nurses working in the NHS. The high proportion of overseas nurses I see as a symptom, not a cause of a problem in terms of planning and workforce planning. And in fact, things do go wrong. I don't think that we use the skills and the educational background of many overseas nurses properly, because many of overseas nurses are better educated and more highly trained in clinical skills than some of the UK nurses entering the register here. So I just want to emphasise, having said that, I have no problem with overseas nurses working in the UK NHS. Another issue is that the nursing workforce is ageing. A great many nurses now look like me, and it's got a differential effect on mental health and in the community, where the mean age of nurses is much older than in hospital nursing. Now, older nurses make perfectly good nurses, but we lose them quicker. They take a psychological and a physical toll much more quickly than younger nurses, and their time in the profession is much shorter, obviously, because they're older. But we're not doing enough to retain them, to get them back. We never have been. and we lose a great deal of wisdom, a great deal of experience. And we've really failed, I think, to make working patterns sufficiently flexible for older nurses, and we've also failed to deal with sort of pensions and things like that. So there are one or two issues that are undermining things that we try to do regarding workforce and modernising nursing in the NHS that need to be addressed. So it seems to me, I'm always sad to say this, and I travel a lot, and it seems to be the view from outside the UK, nursing here is permanently in a crisis, and the blame is always laid at the door of those who educate nurses, always. Nursing was the only profession that I could see that was singled out in the Francis Report. 290 recommendations, 10% of them, 29, were specifically about nursing, and the majority of those were about nurse training. Now, having said that, amidst some stupidity in the Francis Report, there were some excellent points, but it's a shame that some of the good ideas are not being implemented. So when we see good ideas, they don't tend to be implemented. One of the great ideas in the Francis Report, for example, was standardisation and registration of healthcare assistants. That just seems to have been ignored. And of course, we're permanently in crisis because the myths around nursing education are perpetrated in the broadsheet newspapers. Minette Marin of the Sunday Times is worthy of special mention in this regard, but let's not forget who it all started with. The initial person to start the diatribe against degree nurses was Nigella Lawson before she turned to cooking. And even on the BBC, St. John Humphreys has been heard to make derogatory comments about degree education for nurses. And comments are made by politicians of every shade about it. And I feel very strongly about this in regards to the modern nurse. If we can't get people to accept that nurses need to be educated properly and educated to degree level and the advantages of that, I don't think we'll get very far. Now, I don't think that Nigel Farage running the country was anything ever to lose any sleep about, but say UKIP, for example, were dedicated to getting nursing education out of universities and back on the wards. That was one of their policies. However, if you dig deep enough, and I meet many Labour and Conservative MPs, privately over dinners and such like, most of them say exactly the same thing. I've no idea how we achieved an all-degree entry to the profession. I think that was a miracle, because most of the people I meet in politics seem to be opposed to it. What is never perpetuated about nursing is that nursing students spend 50% of their time in practice. And there are 2 points about this. They always have. It's never been any different. I don't understand, for example, why the NHS doesn't, for example, share some of the blame for the crisis in nursing. After all, that's where students actually learn about nursing, but it always seems to be the educationists and the universities. So all the evidence to date, however, does point to the fact that graduate nurses, and having the right proportion of graduate nurses, and that's nurses with degrees as opposed to those without degrees, saves more lives. The RN forecast study shows this clearly, and that's in addition to and over and above having the right patient staff ratios. However, many journalists, present company excepted, and politicians, while demanding the evidence from us, seem to prefer to live in an evidence-free zone. This sort of information doesn't seem to have penetrated very deeply at the parliamentary level. There are mentions in Hansard, but they're very few and far between. So, in my role as editor-in-chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing, I travel pretty extensively, Europe, North America, Asia, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and I think in many of these places the image of nursing is quite low. The status of nursing is quite low. But I have to say that in the UK, I feel that we hold the lowest image of nursing here. And again, if we're going to modernise nursing, I think this image needs to be improved. In the USA, Australia and in the UK, nurses do actually regularly top the list of the most trusted professions. This is something that's really trumpeted in Australia and the UK. It's not trumpeted here, but you can dig and find the evidence. However, I'm not really sure what this means when we're up against politicians and estate agents, but the latter are a fine bunch of men and women, but they're more trusted than politicians in the UK. But I'm not entirely sure which image of the nurse it is that people hold in such high regard in the UK. They seem to hold nurses in high regard if they're female and they're angelic, but not in such high regard if they have a degree. The too posh to wash slogan gets rolled out. Nurses don't need degrees, and if you've half a mind to be a nurse, that's just about all you need. This seems to be sadly the view that's still perpetrated. I'd love to stop banging on about this someday, but last Christmas I spent lots of time writing to the Telegraph unsuccessfully about it.
So, before I finish, and before I'm accused of being in an ivory tower and remote from clinical practice, I'm actually very close to clinical practice and to nursing in various ways through my family. Jane mentioned her own experiences there. I mean, I had some misgivings about the care my father received when he was dying, but no hesitation in praising the community care that he had. And my mother's gone through the whole nine yards from acute care into prolonged cancer care through rehabilitation and now in a nursing home. And the level of liaison across the NHS, social work, the private sector, has just been exemplary. You know, most of the time, I think we get it right. I'm not here to knock nursing or to knock the NHS. What I object to is the reaction that we get when things go wrong. And it's the things that go wrong and the reactions to it, like the Francis report, some of the aspects of the latest Willis report, that will dictate what the future nurse looks like, or the modern nurse looks like. So, I'm often accused of being blunt and lacking in diplomacy and having no political skills. These are traits I actually cherish, but they've probably kept me from high office and off the New Year's honours list. But why change the habits of a lifetime? I thought I'd finish by saying I've been to Washington, D.C. many times, and I always go up the Lincoln Memorial, turn around, look down and say to myself, I have a dream. And so I've got a dream with regard to the future nurse, and this is my dream. So it's a miscellany of points. One day, that no nurse will ever introduce himself or herself with the words, I'm only a nurse. I've got to get away from that. I think we've got to get to a point where only a registered nurse will be able to call him or herself a nurse. I think that nursing, you know, I have a dream that nursing will be an all-graduate profession, not just entry to the profession, but an all-graduate profession. Nursing education will be funded centrally and not locally. Funding will be administered by the Higher Education Funding Council and the equivalent in the rest of the UK and not by the National Health Service. Nurses will not receive any special financial incentives like bursaries or fees being paid to come into nursing. They'll be there solely because they want to be there. That way we might get them and keep them and get the best national and international nurses. We should be educating nurses to be global citizens and not just to work in their local NHS trusts. And I think there should be proper career pathways for nurses with levels of practice clearly defined and coupled to educational levels, as well as specialist post-registration training. We need to get that sorted out. That's something that we desperately need to sort out. And I'm ready to run on this one. I think the RCN should divest itself of its trade union functions and become a professional body, in other words, a Royal College. The opportunity was noted by Francis and it's actually been created by Willis, and that's something I think that the RCN should at least consider. And finally, we should drop a few things. I should have scored this one off, the first one, the six C's. No, okay. I think we should drop things like interviewing for aptitude or aptitude tests to enter nursing. Compulsory periods as healthcare assistants. I've got a lot to say about that one. Pathways for healthcare assistants into nursing. You know, we should be doing the opposite. We should be creating clear blue water between nurses and healthcare assistants. You know, nobody's talking about creating alternative pathways into medicine. I don't think so, anyway. Clinical barometers and a whole load of nonsense should just go. So in terms of the modern nurse and in terms of the conditions we need to get there, you know, there's no lack of goodwill, but actually I think the ship is sinking. And instead of addressing the problem by building cabins on the top, I think we need to plug the holes in training, education, funding, and proper careers that will keep people in nursing. And one way, you know, if we do this, we might attract the brightest, the best, the most ambitious people from the UK and abroad into nursing, and we might actually be able to keep them there. Happy International Nurses Week 2015. Listening back to that now, I realise there's a lot of hums and ahs, a lot of hesitancy. I think that's perhaps the way I talk anyway. I was reading it and I actually find that makes me less fluent in some ways than others. But it's also quite difficult when you know what you're going to say is going to upset at least one member of the audience, in fact one member of the panel, Jane Cummings, the chief nurse. I'm sure my comments about the need for more centralised planning and getting the funding away from the National Health Service and bursaries
wasn't to her liking. In fact, she certainly let me know that the opinion that I propagated about bursaries wasn't to her liking, and pointed out some negative feedback on Twitter, which I've picked up today. So I don't know whether I need to be more courageous or less controversial. We'll see, but I probably do need to think a little bit more deeply about this bursary issue. I feel strongly about it. I doubt there's very much evidence to support my view, but I think there may be a certain amount of logic that can be applied to it. So we shall see.